We begin the current Dav Masechet Nedarim Dav Pei Dav. We begin on the top of the Yamin. The Gemara continues the discussion of the previous Dav and explaining our Mishnah on Pei Gimel Mabez. The Mishnah there had a seemingly contradiction in conceptualization of when a woman takes a neder and she says, Koinim Shaninen L'Brias. She says, I'm taking a neder. I'm forbidden to have pleasure from the people in the world. Brias, creatures, the creations. Now, on that the Mishnah said, so he cannot be Mefer. The husband cannot be made for such a neder, and she could go ahead and have a nafan like a chikhapeh. So the Gemara said, seemingly that's a contradiction in conceptualizing. If the husband is included in the neder, meaning is he in the category of brias, when she said she's taking a neder from all the people in the world, did that include her husband or not? Because obviously we see that she could have a naf from him, and that he's not included in the brias, because if he was in the nether, then of course he would be able to be made for the nether, because that would be an ultimate inu nefesh. So obviously it's not inu nefesh, and that's why he can't be made for it. And the reason is because although she's forbidden from everyone else, but she's permitted to him. On the other hand, however, the next line of the Mishnah of that case, which was that, but she could have leket shiklapeya, sounds like, that she's obviously a poor woman. It means no one is supporting her. She's not getting supported from her husband. So is the husband included in the nether brias or not? That was the question of the Gemara pose on the previous daf, and there were three different answers. The third answer, which is where our Gemara is going on, was from Reb Nachman, and he held that truth is that the husband's not included in Briyos. He wasn't in the neder when she says, I'm taking neder from all the people of the world that was not including her husband. That's why he cannot be made for, because it's not inu nefesh, not being afflicted, she's still being supported by her husband. However, the end of the Mishnah, end of that case that was saying, but she could have like a chikapeh, was talking about a different case. When she gets divorced, then she's not going to be supported anymore from her husband, like Duran explained, because then retroactively he will be included in people of the world, because now he's not anymore her other half. He will then be part of the neder brias. Now she won't be supported by anybody, and therefore then she could go ahead and have like a chikapeh. That was the interpretation of Rav Nachman. Now that's where our current Gemara continues and says, Eitzvei Rav Rav Nachman. Rav asked Rav Nachman on the principle underlying his interpretation of the Mishnah. And that is, he asks, "Ubal lav b'chlav brias tu? Is it really true that the husband is not included in brias? Meaning when a woman takes a neder from everybody in the world, does everybody, obviously doesn't mean herself, means everybody else. Now, does that also mean the other half of her, meaning her husband, is he included or not? So Rav Nachman's interpretation of the Mishnah was presupposed on that the husband is not included in that. And therefore, again, that's why he can't be made for the neder, because not inu nefesh, because he's still supporting her. Now, in that concept, Rava asks, but what's not? We learned the Mishnah later on, the Tzadi Yamad Beis, that says, Netula ani min Yehudim. If a woman says, I am taken from all the Jewish men, meaning she made herself forbidden to have marital relations with any Jewish man, which obviously would cause problems for their own marriage, because she's forbidden from every Jewish man. So on that, the Mishnah says, Yafer Chelkai. So what the husband does is, he does hafara just on his part, meaning he's one of the thousands, hundreds, whatever men that she's available to, he's being made for his part. And therefore he could have tashmish with her, because him as the husband has the ability to be made for. And he did his part, so he could have tashmish with her. But she's still going to be forbidden from all the other Jewish men, because he was only made for his chalik. He did it only quantitatively in hafara regarding himself. Now that Rav's question to Rav Nachman is as follows. If you would say that the husband was included in the categorization of brias, meaning when she makes herself forbidden mina Yehudim from Jewish men, that would include her husband. So then you could explain that when she's saying, I am taken from the Jewish men, what does she mean she's taken? Meaning I'm taken away, meaning there's something that's prohibiting me from them. You would say that's referring to Tashmish Amita, which is something that's only in the lower category. Just as we have explained, there's two categories that a husband can be made for when his wife makes a neder. There's the higher category of inu nefesh, which that unilaterally he can be made for, and the lower category called things which are not afflicting her soul, but they're dvarm shebeinoy lebeina, which they affect the relationship between husband and wife. Now, tashmish amita is in the category of it's going to affect the relationship, where when he makes a hafara, that could only work for himself. But let's say if he divorces her, then actually the nether will come back, and she will be also in that nether, which was only a relational nether, which that meaning that allowed him to do hafara, that impacts the relationship, she would be forbidden to others, as we explained on Daf Ayin Tesama Beis. So therefore that would make sense. Meaning, yes, his hafara is a total hafara, because you can't do a half hafara, as we have explained in the past. Yiferenu means you have to do a total hafar. So he's doing a total hafar. But, and that was what we explained, if that's only possibly by, you know, nefesh, not by Dimar Shabbein Noel Benel, but the thing is that he's doing hafar, and therefore she's going to be permitted to have tashmish with him. But it makes sense that once he would divorce her, she would be forbidden to other Jewish men, because it's only Dvarim Shebeinu Yilabina, which his hafar only allows it for him, but for others she'll be forbidden. That is what Rav is telling Rav Nachman would make sense if you hold that the husband was included in the Brias. Meaning, when she made the neder forbidding herself from all the Jewish men, it could include her husband, who, because he's part of Brias, which she's coming to make tashmish forbidden, with, not only with every other Jewish man, which she's anyways forbidden, but also with her husband, which she was permitted up until now. And therefore the husband could be made for, because it's Dvarim Shebeinu Yilabina. Now, but V'i Amrit Ba'ala B'chla B'riyasu, but what Rav is asking Rav Nachman, but if it's like the way you say, that the husband is not included in Briyas, and therefore, when she took this neder, that Netul Anim Yehudim, from Jewish men, obviously, that's like the same thing as Briyas, from all the people of the world, that's not including her husband, according to Rav Nachman's interpretation. Now, therefore, it's not possible to say that the neder she's forbidding herself from all the Jewish men is from Tashmish. Why? Because even without her neder, she'd be forbidden in Hanah from their Tashmish. Because you're telling me that Mina Yehudim doesn't mean her husband, Mina Briyas doesn't mean her husband, Ba'ala B'chla Briyasu, he wasn't included in that neder. I didn't mean myself, I didn't mean my husband. So therefore, obviously what you have to say is that, so what is she being Netula Mina Yehudim? It can't be from Tashmish, it can't be from man relations. You anyways forbidden, you're a married woman. So what are you coming to forbid yourself from that? If the husband was included, if he said Ba'ala B'chla Briyas, so it could mean Tashmish, because it would mean to include the husband. But here you're telling me the husband's not included in the nether anyway. So what are you coming to forbid yourself from everybody else? Not Tashmish, because anyway it's forbidden. Must be that you're making yourself forbidden from the from what pleasure from them? Meaning from the all the produce that they have. Now, if so, asks Rav and Rav Nachman, Nidre Inu Nefeshein, now that would make it, if you're making yourself forbidden from all the people of the world, from their produce, would make it an afflicting of a soul type of a nether. And therefore, v'yafar lo la'olam, therefore the hafara should be an eternal and unilateral hafara, shouldn't be only for him that it's permitted, but for everybody else forbidden. Because as we concluded on that Gemara and Daf Ayin Tes, where when it's a inu nefesh, his hafara works not just for himself, but even the works, l'achirim. Now, the Ran explains that you wouldn't be able to say that when she said netula anim and yehudim, that I'm taking myself, that I'm forbidden to have from the pleasure of the produce of all the Jewish men, all the Jewish people. It's only when it's theirs, but if my husband buys it from them, then it will be permitted, and hence it's not going to be inu nefesh. That the Ran says you can't say that, because then what would it mean, yafar chelke? Why could it be made for his chelik then? Even the husband shouldn't be able to be made for his chelik then, because he's not included in the nether anyway. And the fact of that, but she's not going to get, he's not going to be able to get produce from anyone else anyway. So it's in the nefesh, it's not, because once he buys it from them, it's no more. He's going to be able to give it. So why would he be able to make for his chelik? So therefore, that's what the Gemara's question is from Rav to Rav Nachman, is how you can interpret this Mishnah. If you said that the husband is included, it could be referencing Tashmish, but according to you, it cannot be, because it's only to other people, not the husband. Other people should anyways also from Tashmish. So it must mean it's talking about all their parents. If that's the case, and that's a classic inu nefesh, and therefore why is it only afar chelke? It should be able to be made for even everyone's chelik, because when the husband does afar of inu nefesh, it's unilateral. So that the Gemara answers, now, Imalach, I would tell you, Shani Hacha, the case in that Mishnah of Tzadim and Beis, you're right, is different. The Muchacha Milsa, because it's obvious, Zal HaTeiru Ka'astra Nafsha, that obviously she's coming to make herself forbidden from something that she's permitted, as we said that logic just before. If you're making yourself netula anim in the Yehudim, I'm taking from all the Jewish men. So the Rav's question of Nachman was, it obviously not referring to Tashmash Amita, because it's only from other people, and the other people she's anyways Aser, must be talking about Peiris, and that should be Inu Nefesh. And the reason why it has to be talking about not Tashmash, because you said the husband's La B'chla B'riyas. Now, on that is what the Gemara Rav Nachman's answering, is that no, it is in reference to Tashmish, and not in regards to the pleasure of all their produce. Now, but your question was, how could it be referencing to Tashmish Amita? She's anyways forbidden to them, because the husband's not included in the nether. And that is what Rav Nachman's saying, you're right. Although generally, like he's explaining in our Mishnah, when a woman takes a nether, I'm not going to have pleasure from all the people in the world, that it doesn't include the husband. Here, the husband will be included in the nether. And the reason is because it's obvious that she's coming to make herself forbidden in something that up until now was permitted. Now, what would that be? Not peiros, because again, that would be in a nefesh. It must be when she's saying netulam lihudim, what do the words mean? And that's what the Gemara's assumption and the Teretz is saying. Netulam lihudim sounds like that you're not going to be able to have matter relations. We just said it can't be because she's anyways forbidden to them. And that is what Rav Nachman is saying. No, here I will agree the husband will be included because since the words netula and lihudim sound like marital relations, but other people she's anyways forbidden because she's a married woman. So therefore, inherently, it's understood that since she wants to make herself forbidden and something that up until then was permitted, there's only one man that up until then was permitted, and that was the husband. And therefore, when she's saying that tula anim and nihudim, it must be including her husband, although usually not. Here it's indicative that it is, and that's why he will be included in the neder of Tashma Shemitah, and that's why it's only Dvarim Shebeinoi Lebeina, because that's the category that Tashma Shemitah falls into, and therefore that's why he's Yafar Chelkai. But when he would, if he would divorce her, then she would be Surah, she would still be Netulam and Yehudim, she'd still be forbidden to every other Jewish man. But that's the answer for Reb Nachman, why it's not difficult on this from this Mishnah later on Tzadi Amid Beis. Because here it's different, here it's obvious, husband is Bechlal Bias. Now the Gemara continues with our Mishnah that we said regarding this case that we were just discussing, that if a woman takes a neder, forbidding herself from every person in the world, so it said, whatever the interpretation was, as we said in the previous staff, but the point of this was is that if she's forbidden to everybody else, she's not having, she can't have pleasure from anybody else. On that, the Mishnah said there is a way to get food from other people. How so? By the matnas anim, by the separate pieces of the stalks that fall down, that's the leket, or the bundles that were forgotten, or the corner of the field. These are gifts given to the poor. And that, as we explained in the previous stuff, they're not things that are given. There is no toives hana. It's not something that the owner gets to choose who to give it to, which would be some type of a gifting, which would be getting pleasure, and she can't have pleasure from anybody in the world. These are things that it said tazim, it just says that they're left there. They're left there, it's hefker, it's no one's. And therefore, although she's forbidden to have enough from anybody in the world, she could still take these gifts that the poor get. Now, however, the Gemara makes the following inference. Very prominently missing from this is the gifts to the poor. Meaning, there's a certain miser, a tithe, that's given on the third and the sixth year. There are 7 years in the Shemitah cycle. The seventh year, no one's working their fields. First, second, fourth, and fifth years, there's one gives truma, gedolah, that's given to the kohen, generally around 1/50 of that. Then there's a tenth of the one's produce that's given to the Levi, and then the Levi has to give Trumas Meiser, a tenth of his tenth to the Kohen, and then there's Meiser Sheni, which the person himself eats a second tithe that he brings up to Yerushalayim. Or if he doesn't want to bring it up, he then redeems it and he takes up that money to Yerushalayim. Now, third and sixth year, instead of taking off Meiser Sheni, he takes off the second tithe and gives it to the poor person. Now, that Matnas Anim, that gift to the poor, is not mentioned in the Mishnah, that this is what the woman would be permitted to take. Now that the Gemara asks, but Tanya b'Raisa, but we learn in the Braisa that says Uva Maiserani. It says that when the woman, although she's forbidden to every man, every person in the world, but she could take Leket Shechapeh and Maiserani. So it seems to be a contradiction. How do we understand, is Maiserani considered something that is permitted for her to take because it's not really theirs? It's hefker like all these other matnasanim. Or is it not? Is it something that they give, just like she wouldn't be able to take regarding truma and maisa? These are things that they get to earmark who they want to give it to, where there's a taivas ana. What is the understanding? What's the category of the maiser of ani? So Amar Avi, he says, like kash, it's not a difficulty because it's actually machloikis. Ha, the Brice is going like Rabbi Eliezer, and ha, Rabbana, our Mishnah is like the Rabbana. It's not like Luna Mishnah, sechtes d'mai. The Mishnah there is discussing when a person purchases produce from Amah Arts. Ignoramus, where ignoramus we have to be concerned that maybe they didn't fully fulfill the halachas of the matanis that are given off to the Kahanim, Levim, to other people. So when a person purchases, that's what's called demai, which is the word demai. We don't know what it is. We don't know if it was properly tithed or not. So halacha is, a person who buys it from the Amah Arts, he has to take off his own meiser, and he also additionally has to take off from that meiser he has to take off a trumas meiser, and he gives that trumas meiser to the kohen. But the first meiser, the first tithing, what's called the meiser rishon itself, that actually he could keep to himself after he went and separated. The reason being is because there's two elements in giving meiser rishon. There's the prohibitory law, and then there's also the monetary law. Meaning, until you separate meiser rishon, truma for sure, which that he has to give to the kohen, because if one would eat truma, that is a penalty that a person could get karas. Now, however, regarding meiser rishon, although there's, until you separate the first tithe that's given to the Levi, it's going to be considered tevel and you can't eat the produce. But once you separate and you took care of the prohibitory law part of it, it's not tevel anymore. But actually, meiser rishon is permitted for non-Levim to eat. Now, when it comes to the monetary law aspect, so regarding is it meiser rishon or not, we don't really know. We don't know if the Amah Aretz went and took off the proper tithes. So regarding truma, whether you know or not, it's a suffix deraisa, and it's also that of a penalty of karas. So you have to go, you can't eat it anyway, so you give it to the kohen. Now, moreover, is when you take the first tithe, you have to take off from that tithe another tithe, which the Levi would normally give it to the kohen. You got to give that to the kohen too, because that also has the same properties as truma, which is called truma's maisa. But the first maisa, that first tithe which you separate, so now your rest of your produce is permitted to consume, that maisa itself, the owner who bought from the Amoritz could actually keep it for himself. The reason being is because when it comes to monetary law, because you already took care of the prohibitory law aspect, and regarding prohibitory law also you could consume meiser rishon, it's just a question of who really owns it. If it's real meiser rishon, then the Levi gets it, but if it's not, because maybe the Amoritz did take off meiser rishon, so then you come to the halachic concept of hamitzi mechaver el varaya, meaning who, I'm in possession of it right now. You, the Levi, want to prove that this is not that this is meiser rishon, you have to go out and prove it. You have to prove that the Am Aretz didn't take off meiser rishon. And since it's not clear, therefore I could get and hold on to that. That's what the Mishnah says over there. Now, so that's regards to Truma and meiser rishon. However, Rabbi Eliezer says, Ein odem tzarech likri shem al meiser oni shal demai. However, in regards to the meiser oni of demai, meaning, again, there's a few different things one has to separate. Let's say we're talking about in the third and the sixth year, besides Truma, which we're saying the person is going to give it to the kohen, and the Truma's Meiser that is going to give it to the kohen, and the Meiser Rishon that he's going to separate, but he's going to hold on to it himself. You have to do the separation, because or else the produce will be Tevel. But you could hold on to that. Now, let's say it's the third and the sixth year, where besides that, you also have to separate a second tithe, which is from the main produce, which goes to the poor person. And that, Rabbi Eliezer says, that you don't even have to designate, forget about separating and giving to the poor person, you don't even have to separate meiser ani from the produce that you bought from the Am Haaretz. Now the reason being is because Rabbi Eliezer holds that even if definitely from this pile of produce, meiser ani was not separated, it does not make the rest of the produce into tevel, which is the category, which is the term given for untithed produce, which if you would eat tevel, the Torah says you get misa, you get death, that is not applicable by meiser ani. So therefore, you don't have to separate it even out of doubt. Because anyways, regarding monetary law, you don't have to give it to the poor, because it's a suffix. And the poor person would have to prove it, that the Am Aretz didn't take off Meiser Ani. So therefore, since you could eat it, you could eat Meiser Ani too, so the only reason why you would separate it would be because you don't want the rest of the produce to be Tevel, and that really has a hold, that it doesn't create Tevel by not taking off Meiser Ani, in contrast to, let's say, Truma and Meiser Rishon. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says, you don't even have to call it Meiser Ani. There's no point in designating it as Meiser Ani. Whereas Bachacham Aymrim, they argue, they say, no, Kairi Shem, you have to give a designation of Meiser Ani to say, this is, I'm like separating, this is like Meiser Ani, but Vein Tzarech Lahafrish, you don't have to really separate the Meiser Ani and to remove it from the rest of the pile. That's not a problem, because you could eat Meiser Ani. Anyway, you just have to designate and say, okay, that part of the produce is Meiser Ani, because if you don't do that, then it's going to give the rest of this, the produce a status of Tevel. That's because the Chacham hold that if you definitely didn't separate Meiser Ani, then the rest is Tevel, and then if you would eat from the pile, it would be a punishment of Misa, of death, even though the truth is that you don't have to separate, as we said, take Meiser Ani, but you have to at least give a designation out of doubt, because we don't know if the Amoritz took it or not, of the Kriya Shem of Meiser Ani, because the suffix would be Tevel. So the Gemara explains, my love, isn't it that Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham are arguing regarding this concept that we're speaking about, which would explain the Machlekes, our Mishnah, and the Braisa. That is, Lamanda Mesvekei Toivel, according to the opinion of the Rabbanan, that they hold that even a Safek, if the Maaser only was taken off and out, would create the rest of the produce into Tevel. So therefore, the Chacham said, you have to do Kriya Shem, you have to give a designation to Maaser Ani. So Ksavar is late Toivel Sanaz. We're going to explain why should this be, but the Gemara is assuming that there is a connection between if this thing that you didn't, this gift that you have to give to someone else, if you don't separate it, would create the rest of the produce into Tevel. That means to say that this thing, in this case, let's say Maaser Ani, would be something that you have Tevel Sanaz. The owner gets the pleasure and the rights to choose who to give it to, which has a certain monetary aspect to it. It's a certain hana that there would be giving. Now, but given this, since the owner regards to the Maaser Ani, gets to choose who to give it to, then loy mahanya. So therefore, that's why the woman cannot go ahead, and she took a neder forbidding herself to have enough from everyone in the world. That's why our Mishnah, which we'd be going like the Chacham, would hold, that's not included in the gifts to the poor that she could take. In contrast to Lek et Shechah Pei, which that's just left in the field, they only can choose who he gives it to. So therefore, she's not having enough from him. It's from Hefker, it's ownerless. But according to the Chacham, by Maaser Ani, there, since if you didn't take it off, it would make the rest of the produce into Tevel. So therefore, that means to say what you're taking is something that you get to choose who to give it to. That's considered ahana. So therefore, that he can't give. But Alamanda Amabar Koin to Rabbi Yazar, the one who says, Eina Karishim, that you don't have to go ahead and designate a name of Maaser Ani from the demai that you're buying from Amma Oretz. That's because Ksavri holds Sveika Eina Tevel. And as the Ran explains, actually, it would be even definite if it wasn't taken off. Maaser Ani wouldn't make it into Tevel. It's just because we're talking about a case of Safek when you buy from Amma Oretz. That's why we pick the designation of a Safek. But V'chosha Sveika Eina Tevel. But any case where the doubt, or again, even definite, where what you're taking off, if you didn't take it off in this regards to Maaser Ani, it wouldn't make the rest of the produce into Tevel, then less late Tevel, then the owner doesn't really have the rights to choose who to give it to, which would be considered some type of a pleasure. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yezer, therefore the woman who takes the neder, forbidding herself from everything, every person in the world, would not only be permitted for Leket Shecha Pei, but even for Maaser Ani too, because that's also something that person doesn't get a choice who to give it to. And therefore, since you don't get a choice who to give it to, it's just like it's left over there, and therefore that's not really giving any pleasure to the woman, and therefore, although she's forbidden from everyone, that's not considered having a naw from this person. Now, the Ran explains 2 points. Now, this concept, we spoke about 2 concepts. A, first of all, if Maaser Ani, if you don't take off the Maaser Ani, A, does it go ahead and make it into Tevel or not? B, is also this fact of that, okay, and if it's Tevel, then what you're separating, which would make it not Tevel anymore, is obviously something that you have Tevel, so that you get a chance, you get a choice who to give it to. Those are 2 things the Ran's coming to explain. So the first point, he says, regarding Tevel Sano, that it's dependent, that if it's what you're, if this what you're giving, for example, like a check of pay, is not making the rest of the produce into Tevel per se, in contrast to, let's say, Truma Maaser, where it is going to be considered Tevel if you don't go ahead and take off the Truma Maaser. So on that is what the Gemara is assuming, that Toiv Sana is an outgrowth of if this thing is Tevel or not. If what you're taking off, had you not taken off, it would be Tevel. So when you're taking it off and you're giving it to the Kayan, Levi, poor person, whoever it is, so that means to say that you get a choice and to decide who you want to give it to, which is what's called Toiv Sana, which is the benefit of the pleasure. Now, what's the source for this? So the Ran explains, says, because the Pasuk says as follows, says, V'loy chalu es kodshim b'nei Yisrael. The Jewish people should not desecrate the kodshim, meaning the truma, the maaser of the Jewish people, is asher yurimu, that which they will separate. What the word truma comes from the word yurimu. Now, the Gemara elsewhere expounds and explains that it says it in the future tense, is asher yurimu, that will they will take off truma. Now, from the fact that it says regarding this that the person will separate, lo yichalu, that they shouldn't desecrate, sounds like that it's a referencing it to regards to Tevel, meaning because that is the chilul. If you don't go ahead and do the proper tithes, so then you're keeping it in the status of Tevel. Now, what we see from there is that Tevel is something which is dependent on the owner. They're the ones that are Urimu. They're the ones that separate the Trumas and the Maestras. So what that tells us is that the Teves Anah, the decision of who it goes to, is theirs. Because that's what the Pasuk is saying, Esasha Urimu, that's what they will separate. Who separates? The owner. So it's as if it says regarding Trumas and Maestras, Nesina, a giving. Now moreover, it also says in the context of who they get to give it to, that if they don't give it, that's a chilul. What's the chilul? Chilul is because you're gonna be consuming tevel. So it's saying don't desecrate, meaning don't keep it tevel. How do you not keep it tevel? By being meirim. Who's meirim? The owner's meirim, which is essentially he's giving it, and that means to say that he gets to decide who he's giving it to. So therefore, that's what we say, that why something that is going to be tevel, if you're not gonna separate it, that the teves anah is for the owner. And but if it's something that's not tevel, then they don't get it. Now, therefore, that's the understanding of the Gemara, of the Machlekes that we're describing. By Meiser, on the according to the one that says that if it's a suffix, if there's really if the Ani took a Meiser Ani or not, if the Amorites took a Meiser Ani or not, then it's not going to make it tevel. Well, then you don't have Teves Anah, because it's only something that would make it into tevel, as we just explained, that would give you the rights of Teves Anah. Therefore, the woman could have enough of Maaser on them because it's Hefker Ba'alma, it's just Hefker. But according to the one that says that you do have to be Kairi Shem, holds that because the Suffolk, meaning if you didn't take with Maaser on them, it would make the produce into Tevel. Therefore, you have to go ahead and give a Kriya Shem. And because of that, anything that, as we explained, that if you didn't take it over, make it into Tevel, now the one who's separating it has a Teves Anah. And that's because that would be included in Veloi Chalos Kachar B'nei Yisrael. Now, therefore, since there is Hana over here, meaning that the owner, whoever he's giving it to, because he gets to decide who to give it to, so therefore that's why a woman is forbidden to have Hana from Ma'aser Ani, because she would then be having Hana from him and not from Hefker. That explains that component. So that the Ran says that he heard that interpretation from his teachers, but he said, but still the other point, about so what is the Machlekes regarding if not taking off Ma'aser Ani would make it into Tevel or not? So he says that the interpretation is as follows. The one who holds that not taking off Ma'aser Ani, again, in contrast to Truma and Ma'aser Rishon, where if you don't take it off, the rest of the produce is Tevel, by Ma'aser Ani, it's not going to be Tevel. The reason is because he holds that it's not possible that the pile of produce should be stringent, meaning that it should be Aser, meaning it should be Tevel, because of the Ma'aser Ani that's mixed in with it, meaning because you didn't separate it, more than Ma'aser Ani itself. In other words, by Truma, it makes sense why if you don't take off Truma, it's going to make the produce into Tevel. Because since Truma itself is forbidden for a non-kohen to consume, so it makes sense when it's mixed into the rest of the produce, it's going to make, as Tarubis always does, forbidden mixtures, makes the rest of the produce forbidden. Now, therefore, since you have to go ahead and separate the Truma from it, it's not bottled inside of the rest of the produce because you have to separate it. That's what's going to make it forbidden. But Ma'aser Ani itself is permitted to non-kohanim. How could you say that its mixture is going to be more stringent from it? So that the Ran says is the reason of the one who holds that it's not going to make it into Tevel. But the one who holds that it is going to make it into Tevel holds because of a drasha, which is brought actually in Masechta Zivamis Daf Pei Vav Amud Aleph, which says clearly that you would think you would only be liable on Tevel if you didn't take off any Truma whatsoever. How would you know even if you took off Truma Gedayla, which goes to the Kain, but you didn't take off Ma'aser Rishon, or even if you took off Ma'aser Rishon, but you didn't take off Ma'aser Ani? And that is meaning, even if, regarding Ma'aser Ani, how do you know if you didn't take it off, that it's going to make the rest of the produce into Tevel? That, the Gemara there brings a drasha. It says, Leisucha lecha b'sharecha, you can't eat it in your gates. And it says another pasuk, V'ochlu b'sharecha v'sabeyu, that you eat in your gates and you should be satiated. So just like one sharecha refers to Ma'aser Ani, so do the other one refers to Ma'aser Ani, and still the pasuk says, Leisucha lecha b'sharecha, you can't eat it. Therefore we see that until one takes off even Ma'aser Ani, it's going to be considered Tevel. So therefore, again, one's coming from a Svara, the other one's coming from a Pasig. But be that as it may, the Ran explained both points. A, what would be the Machlekes if taking of Ma'aser Ani not would make it into Tevel or not. Again, either it's a Svara because it can't be more severe than the Ma'aser Ani itself. So therefore, you can't make the rest into Tevel. Or the other Mandama that holds that, no, it will be Aser, it will be Tevel if you don't take of Ma'aser Ani, like the Drasha, Lesuch Alecha B'Sharecha. But then additionally, there was another component which is okay, fine. So we understand that idea. But why should the concept of Teves Anah be contingent on if it's going to make it into Tevel or not? And that's because we explained, because as we learned from a different pasuk of lo yichalu, that we see that the concept of creating tevel is ashirimu, which is those that you get to choose who you give it to, is because or else it's going to be tevel. So we see that that is dependent on the tevel, which is of Tevis Anah. And therefore, again, that's the understanding of how the Gemara wants to explain this machlekes between the Mishnah and the Brisa regarding if Maaser Anah is included or not, will depend if this is something that there's Tevis Anah or not. And that is the Mishnah holds that there is Tevis Anah. It's something that he would be deciding who to give the Maaser Anah to, and therefore that's Hanah that she is forbidden to. Whereas the Brisa holds that's not, he doesn't get a chance to decide because it's not Tevil, and if it's not Tevil, then you don't get the Tevis Anah. And therefore, the woman would be permitted not only like a Chechapeya, but even the Maaser Anah. On that Omali Abaye. And that Abaye comes to reject the answer that Rabbi Yosef just gave, to say that actually it's still going to be a difficulty between the Mishnah and the Brisa. Because he says, the concept that you're trying to say that you're arguing about is not necessarily the case. You tried saying that, okay, it's not a difficulty. It's a Machlekes, Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham. And that Abaye wants to say that who said that this is what they're arguing about, to say that that's the understanding of our Mishnah and the Brisa. Abaye says, "Dukula amas veikat tevel." I could tell you that truthfully, everybody holds that the suffix would make it into tevel. In other words, that if you don't take off ma'aser ani, it is going to be tevel. Now the Ranjit points out the Gemara could not have said the other way around. That really everyone holds the suffix if you took off ma'aser ani not would not make it into tevel, because then what would be the understanding of the Rabbanon who require a kriya shem? Obviously, it's because they're concerned that, or else it's going to be considered tevel, which is why you have to do a kriya shem. So Abaye wants to say that actually everyone would hold, again, which would thus reject the teretz of Rav Yosef, because if everyone holds that the suffix it would make it tevel, if you don't take of ma'aser ani, it's going to be tevel, which would then mean that you have the tevis anah, which would obviously mean to say that which would be difficult the halacha of the brisa, which is then why is it that the woman cannot have the ma'aser ani? Why could she have the ma'aser ani if it's something that he has the tevis anah, which would be like the halacha of our Mishnah? Now, so then what the Rabbi Eliezer Rabbanan, Bahagim, everybody says, well, what about Rabbi Eliezer Rabbanan? It sounded like the way Rabbi Yosef wanted to say that no, that they do argue about if it's going to be Suffolk, Tevel, or not. And that he says that no. Rabbi Eliezer Savar, Loi Nechshadu Ami Ha'aretz Al Maaser Ani. Rabbi Eliezer holds that no, to the contrary. The reason why you don't have to separate Maaser Ani, you don't even have to do a Kriya Shem, is not because that if you don't, it's not going to be Tevel. It would be Tevel. So why not? The Amoritz is suspected regarding tithes. Reason why is because, yes, he's suspected regarding Truma Gedoyla, regarding Trumas Meiser, Meiser Rishon, but regarding the tithes of the poor, he's not suspected. And we say that he definitely separated that tithe already. Why? The reason is, Kivan, since he's not really losing anything, because if he wanted to, he would be able to get the Meiser on himself. How so? The Ilu Mafker Nichsei, because if the Amoritz wanted to, he could declare ownerless all his properties, Bahama Ani, and he'd be poor, but Shakalehu, and he'll take it himself. So therefore, less leib say that he's not going to have any loss. So there's no reason why the Am Aretz would not go ahead and separate Maaser Ani. Now that's why Rabbi Eliezer says that you don't have to separate from Demai, even by Kriya Shem, Maaser Ani. Not because the way Rabbi Yosef had said, oh, because he holds that if you don't, it wouldn't make it into Tevel. It would make it into Tevel. And again, therefore, there would be Tevel, and therefore, obviously, it would sound like it would be something that the woman would be forbidden in, like our Mishnah. But the reason why he says you don't have to separate is because we say he for sure did. Because what would he lose? You're giving a whole tenth of your produce? Big deal. You could get Maaser Ani, how so? Make everything you have ownerless, hefker, take the Maaser Ani because you're poor now, and then you take back your properties. Now, Rabban and Savri, they argue on Rabbi Eliezer, and they hold Nichsei Lemafke Inish. A person doesn't declare all his properties ownerless. Because Demirtas, he's afraid, Dilmazachi, but who in the Shachrin, maybe in that small amount of time, someone's going to get onto what he's doing. And when the guy says Hefke, he's going to say Kaina, he's going to quickly acquire it. And he's afraid of that. And Hilkach Nechshadu, and therefore, the Ani is suspected that he didn't take off Maaser Ani, because he's not interested in giving tithes, like we see. And moreover, is that he's afraid to do that option that Eliezer said, because he's afraid that someone else might go ahead and claim his property in that little time span that he's declaring it ownerless to be a poor man to take the Maaser Ani. But one thing we see is that Abaye rejected the interpretation of Rabbi Yosef. So rather, Rava Omer. Rava says, and he's coming to answer this contradiction between the Mishnah and the Brisa, that it's not difficult. And he gives a different answer to resolve the contradiction. He says, Kan, in our Mishnah, was talking about specifically b'Maaser Ani ha'meschalik b'toich habayis. There's two ways that one could apportion the Maizrani, the tithe of the poor, meaning like a Chichapeya, they're left in the field. They're Tazif. And that's why we said that that's not something that's given. There's no Tavis in the Truma, a Maizr is given out by somebody by himself. Now, Maizrani, the reason why it's actually the Mishnah says one way and the Brisa says another way, is it like Truma, a Maizr, or is it like Maizr Rishon, or is it like a Chichapeya? Because it actually depends. And that's actually the understanding of these two halachas. Our Mishnah is talking about by the tithe of the poor that's given out in the person's house. There's Siva Bein Nesina, which in regards to that type of Maaser Ani, I mean, it's the same type, but when you do it from your house, that's what the Pasuk says in the Varm, V'nasata la-Levi la-Ger v'Gerim, that you should give it to the Levi and to the Ger, etc. Now, Mishum Hachi, it's for that reason, that since the husband, since the owner is giving out the Maaser Ani in his house, he's giving it out. He's deciding, no, you, that means to say that there's a type of sana. Then that's why also lelasanuya. That's why it's forbidden for the woman to go ahead and to have hana. And that's why the Mishnah didn't say umaiser ani, because yes, she's actually forbidden in that produce because there is type of sana. Kan, but in the Bryce is talking about the maiser ani meschalik b'toich agranes. We're talking about that the type of the poor that's given out, meaning that's left over there in the threshing house, which means to say whoever wants to come and take will take. Because regards to that is what it says in Pasuk in Devarim, that you will leave it in your gates. That's why it's permitted for her to have ana, because this actually was left over there. There is no Tavis ana. And that's as the Ram brings from the Sifri, which the Sifri poses this as a contradiction. It says on the one and the one Pasuk, V'nasata la-levi la-yasam la-mona, you should give it to the poor. Now, but then there's another pasuk says, "V'hanachta b'shirach, you should leave it." What is it? You give it or do you leave it? Is it tevet zana or not? So on that is what the Sifri says, "Kam b'maisachama, kam b'maisakshama." One is talking about in the summer months and one's talking about in the winter months, which actually the Ram brings two different interpretations. Either it means to say that in the summer months, which is when you you just leave it in the threshing house. But when the winter months come around, which is after Sukkot time, that's called Chagas. If you gather everything in, so then it's in your house. So then when the poor come, then you give it out. Then from your house, that's Tevas Anah. Or some explain the other way around. Actually means that in the winter months, when it's already, you gathered all the produce from the field, you brought it home. So that's when there's Tevas Anah. That's when our Mishnah said that the woman's going to be forbidden in the Maaser Ani. They only said she's permitted Leket Shechapeya. Because then it's actually he's giving. But what's left over after the winter, and it's already by the summer months, that's okay, then you just put it out into the Goyer and you leave it out in the threshing house. That's just left for everyone who wants to come and take. That is what the Brisa means, that the woman would be permitted not only Leket Shechapeya, but even by Maaser Ani. And that's the understanding of the Gemara right now, where, as Rava answered, that it depends. Maaser Ani actually, interestingly, could have both components. It could be sometimes Tevas Anah, which when he's giving from his house, then the woman would be forbidden because that's getting pleasure from him. And sometimes there's no Tevas Anah, which is in the summer months when it's just left out in the fields, and then people just take it, and then the woman would be included in that. And that's what the Brisa refers to, that she permitted in Maaser Ani. Now the Mishnah said, moving on to a different case, if the woman says, Kahanim v'levim nenenli, that I'm making a nether, a Kahanim v'levim can't have pleasure with me. Now the problem is, every person who has produce has to give Truma and Maaser to the Kahanim v'levim. So the Mishnah said, Yitnlu v'chulu, that the Kahanim v'levim could take it al karcha, they could take it against the person that's making the nether's will, because it's not you don't have rights to forbid them from taking what's rightfully theirs. Now, one thing the Gemara says is, Alma, what you see from this halach is, Tevas Anah ain't a moment. Obviously, that the rights that you have who to give it to, which is the halach of Trumas and Maizis, which we were just finished discussing, doesn't give it a monetary component. Because we see that the Kahanim that are forbidden to have Hana from this person making an eder, still, they're allowed to take their Truma. But, although it's the Kahanim's Truma, but this person who made the neder gets to decide who to give it to, which is what's called Tevas Anah. Although that person gets a choice who to give it to, obviously we see that's not a monetary component, because if it would be, that component, forget about the truma itself, that component would be getting hana when the person takes it from the owner who made the neder, and that itself would make it forbidden for them to take it. So obviously the Gemara says, you see that Tevas Anah is not money. There's no monetary aspect, and therefore they're not violating the neder by taking from this person. Now that I'm a safer, but the Gemara says, but look at the next part of this halacha. If let's say the person making the neder said, Kahanim elu, v'levim elu neneli, let's say they designated not all Kahanim and Levim, these Kahanim, I don't like them, and these Levim, they can't have enough for me. Then Yitlochem, then the Mishnah said, okay, the Neder will be valid, they can take, but since you're not making it forbidden, all Kahan Levim, other Kahan Levim will take the appropriate Trumas and Maestras. But the inference is, Avalahani Loi. But for those Kahan Levim, that you said these, they can't take. Alma Tovas and Namaman, that obviously infers that there is a monetary aspect to deciding who gets it, because if there wasn't, then what is the value of the Neder, which should have no validity? Because it's not your Truma Maeser. The only way it's your Truma Maeser is because you get to decide who to give it to. But the Truma Maeser as a whole is owned by the Kahan Levim. You just get to decide who to give it to. Now, but if you're saying from the Reisha that that decision doesn't have a monetary aspect, so what are you making forbidden on them? Why are you saying that the Neder will apply to them and it's also for them, but what are you making forbidden to them? It's only your choice of who to give it to that would make it forbidden. Obviously, that there is a monetary aspect that the Neder can be chal on, and the problem is that's contradictory from the Reisha. Because if that would be the case, then how could it be that when the person makes the Neder forbidding all Kahan Levim, that they could take if there is the Tevis in that part? So now Amar Rav Hirshi, he says, Lekasha, it's not a difficulty, because it's really a machlokes. Ha, the Sefer of our Mishnah, is going like Rebbe, who he holds, as we're going to quote, that Teves Ana, the ability to choose who to give it to, does have a monetary aspect, and that's why it is forbidden to Kahanim Elu, Ulevim Elu. But Vaha, Rabbi Yisrael Behuda, but the Reish of our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yisrael Behuda, who holds Teves Ana is not Momen, and that's why, even if you make it forbidden on all of them, they could take the time, like learn the Braisa. Hagoinev Tivle Shel Chaver Va'achlev, someone steals the untithed produce of his friend and consumes it. So the halacha is, Mishalim Loi Dimei Tivloi. The one who stole it, the thief, has to pay for the value of what he consumed for all of the untithed produce. Now, when you say Tivloi, that includes A, the chulin inside of it, which is ultimately when you're going to separate Trumas and Maeses, which will be the permitted produce that the Yisrael that you stole it from could eat. Moreover, Tevel includes the value of the Trumas and Maeses. But obviously, you didn't really steal that from that person, because Trumas and Maeses are the Kahanims. So now the understanding is, according to the Teves Ana that the owner would have had, which Kohen and Levi he wants to give it to, you have to give him not only for the Chulin that you consume of that Tevel, but even in the Teves Ana of the Trumas and Maeses. That's the Rabbi. Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Huda, I mean, he says, no, Ein Mishalim Ela Demei Chulin Shabbai. No, you only have to compensate the one that you stole the tefillah from, the value of the chulin that's inside of it, but not the value of the trumas and maeses, because even though that the owner had what's called teves na inside of it, he holds that teves na is not a monetary component. There's nothing to compensate him for who he was able to choose who to give it to, and therefore the Gemara says, "My love, balkim mifugi." Isn't this obviously what they're arguing about? As we continue on top of pehei amid aleph, that the Rebbe suffer teves na mamon, and that's what Rav Hirsch is coming to say. That the machlekes in our Mishnah, which seemingly it's like one Tana, but he's saying it's two different opinions, is if we hold Teves Ana as Mamon or not. That Rebbe is the Tana of the Sefer. He holds Teves Ana is Mamon, and therefore, since it's Mamon, you have to compensate him for that Teves Ana in the Demei Tivli, including Trumas and Maeses. But Rebbe is maybe who the Sefer Teves Ana in the Mamon. But he holds that it's not Mamon, it's not a monetary aspect, and therefore you only have to pay him for the Chulin part of it, and not even for the Teves Ana in the Trumas and Maeses that you have. And that's why he says only to mechulin, and that's the understanding of our Mishnah. Why, when the Reisha said that when the person made the neder forbidding all Kahan Levim they could take, is because that's going to be who the holds that it's not a monetary component. Therefore, the neder is not going to make it forbidden to them because the actual Trumas Maeser is theirs. It's only Teves Ana. Teves Ana is not monetary. Whereas the Sefer that says if you made certain people forbidden, it will be forbidden, is going like Rebbe, who Rebbe holds that Teves Ana is mammon. That's the interpretation of Rav Hirsch in the Mishnah, which ultimately the Gemara in the next daf is going to reject his interpretation.